May the words that I speak and the thoughts in our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A general once said to John Wesley, "I never forgive." Whereupon Wesley replied, "Then I hope, sir, you never sin." As we all are all sinners, the problem of forgiveness is inescapable. So how do we go about it? Peter had observed Jesus and seen how forgiving he was. He knew from his own experience that it was never easy, and this is what prompted him to ask Jesus if there could be a limit of, say, 7 times and then a stop. Jesus, in his reply, says, in effect, there is no limit. He told them the story we have just heard to illustrate the principle. It's about a man who owed millions of pounds. He hadn't a hope of paying it back and was therefore destined for prison. He pleaded for more time to pay, and to his surprise, compassion was shown and the whole debt cancelled. Debt is a very good concept when thinking about forgiveness. Our vision of the Lord's Prayer says, one version of it says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Sins are like debts in the sense that we have failed to pay to God what we owe him in selfless service and loyalty. We have all piled up an enormous debt, like the servant in the story, and we haven't a hope of paying it off. And just as the servant learned that his debt had been wiped out, so we find what God has done. Exactly the same thing in respect of our debt to him. This is not something we could ever hope to deserve or anyway make possible. Nor is it to be thought that God regards debt lightly, as if it did not matter. A price had to be paid by someone. And on the cross, we see the cost of forgiveness in the death of Jesus. This was the length to which he went to get us out of debt. But back to the gospel. No sooner is the man cleared of debt than he goes out immediately to another man who owed him a trifling sum. Nearly strangling him, he demands his money or else. Any sense of gratitude for the treatment he had received does not result in an ounce of mercy. The debtor's request for more time to pay is not granted, and into prison he goes. No patience is shown, and that is a sin of an unforgiving spirit. It is tragic that his experience of forgiveness had not softened his heart, nor resulted in sympathy or sensitivity towards his fellow man. Sadly, this is what we are all like. This story is a mirror image of human behavior. We seem to be unaware of how much we have been forgiven. We find it hard to forgive one another and fail to see the connection between being forgiven and forgiving. God's forgiveness of us and our forgiveness of one another cannot be separated, as the parable goes on to teach. If we refuse to forgive others, we make it impossible for us to receive God's forgiveness. The sentence in the Lord's Prayer reminds us the two go together. If we are not loving our neighbour, then we are not loving God. Love is indivisible. There is no such thing as a private relationship with God, which leaves our relationship with others untouched. As Jesus said, If when you are bringing your gift to the altar, you suddenly remember that your brother has a grievance against you, leave your gift where it is before the altar. First go and make peace with your brother. Only then come back and offer your gift. In any family, how can a loving father receive into his arms two children who are at odds with each other? Yet this is what we try to do when we approach God. We sing the hymns, say the prayers, and receive Holy Communion as if we were in love and charity with our neighbours. To sum up, there is no limit to God's mercy, but there is a condition, and that is that there is no limit to our mercy either. We are always in debt to God. Amen.